Amused Bouche is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. Listen to your city at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
Tawanda.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jen.
My name is Abby.
And this is Amused Bouche. Woo! It is nice to have some time to just like hang out and talk to you again.
Yeah, I missed you.
I mean, it feels like we used to do this a lot, and then we started getting all these fabulous guests.
Yeah.
And now we don't really get to like hang out ourselves anymore.
Well, we're going to make up for it today, at least, because, you know, we're getting back to our roots. You know, we're just going to chat a little bit about some fun stuff. We're going to talk
about maybe.
Yeah, we're going to play a game. We're going to do a food battle.
I like a food battle.
I love a food battle. Aww. And this one is special.
Why?
Because today is Valentine's Day.
Hearts Day.
So what battle would be perfect for Valentine's Day? What is the one thing everyone gets or plans to give other than flowers?
Which venereal diseases.
That's right.
Aw, how sweet.
Yay. It's chocolate.
Okay, it's chocolate.
It's battle chocolate. I'm so excited. It's going to be awesome. So I cannot wait to talk through that. But before we do, what I wanted to do, we took a break from the studio so that we could, you know, like, we did not take a break from each other. We continued to hang out constantly.
It was not like an emotional break.
No,
it was
we didn't take
more physical
kind of
than anything, but we hung out a little bit.
We hung out a fair amount.
But it was still like a holiday thing.
Yeah.
You know,
we just took a little bit of time to like rejuvenate. I got in a car accident, which was great.
Yikes.
Totaled my car.
At the end of a really mediocre wine dinner, I might add. So that just cherry on top.
Well, as we have discussed, this dinner was so mediocre that we decided to leave two courses before it ended.
Yeah, that's how you know, guys. This was bad.
I will not
name names because that's not how we roll in this family. But needless to say, I was excited going in because a wine dinner is like one of my favorite things. Mm. Really intentional food pairings, really nerdy wine people, and this missed the mark. So when you texted me after I got home and was still actively bitching about it to Jeff and saw your text, I was like, oh my God.
And it never would have happened if the food had been good enough to stay the whole time.
Yeah, well, that's a blame that we can't really place, but in our hearts,
we can.
You
can do what you want, but that's what I told the lawyer, so I don't know about you.
Anyway, Abby's fine.
I'm fine.
She has a brand new minivan.
I have a brand new minivan and a sprained wrist, but other than that, everything's fine.
The bruises have cleared
for
the most part. I haven't asked to see them lately.
They look almost normal. But I still have scars from the scratches.
You're sort of translucent anyway.
It's true. You can see all my veins in my body.
I think that might say enough.
So bruising happens.
Bruising happens,
easily.
Guys.
But this was bad.
But yeah, so other than getting into car accidents, we did have quite a bit of foodtivity over the holiday season.
Yeah, I mean, this is the part I think people need to understand is that nothing that we do on this podcast is just for the podcast. Yeah, this is who we are as people.
This is a lifestyle.
And then we talk about it. Yeah. So this is really who we are. So let's start with Christmas. So
Christmas.
So I decided I bought two pieces of beautiful meat. Wink.
Yeah, you did.
I bought duck and I bought prime rib. Prime rib, duck.
Anyway.
What do you do? So I gave Jacob a choice. I said, I have these two beautiful, you know, proteins. What would you like for Christmas?
How did he get so lucky, first of all?
Somebody needs to ask him that
regularly. Understand it. Whatever you're doing, man, keep it up.
We can go into that on a different show.
There you go.
But he opted for duck for Christmas.
Yep.
So what I ended up doing, I was like, okay, this is a whole duck. Normally I just do duck breast. So
how did you find that whole duck?
Oh, I found it at Whole Foods.
Oh, Whole Foods.
And it was good. I was real happy with it. But I also wasn't quite sure how it was going to turn out as a whole duck.
Okay. Talk me through
so
that.
So I did, you know, the whole dry little guy, I like took him out and patted him dry and put him back in the fridge for
Do
a couple
we know
days.
It was a male duck?
I don't know. Every animal is a little guy to me.
Oh boy.
So I don't know how you generalize, but they're all little guys, not little girls, not little men, little guys.
I feel
little
like pat, poultry pat. Is like a lady. They lay eggs. It feels like that's a girl.
But what do you do with the ones that aren't laying eggs? You eat them.
I don't know. Put them outside.
I feel like you're probably more likely to be eating a male duck, just like you're more likely to be eating a male
Don't use
cow.
Your logic on me.
How dare you assume this is logical?
All right, back to murdering animals.
So so I did, you know, a nice crispy duck. I just roasted it in the oven. But, you know, the duck was great, fine. But it was the sauce that I made that was so killer. It was this cherry rosemary sauce with shallots, honey. Ugh.
You have talked about cherry sauces
I love cherry
a
sauce.
Whole lot lately.
I love cherry sauces.
I'm willing to be converted because I don't really like cherry.
Okay. All right. I can fix that.
Okay.
I'll fix that. Okay. There are several different cherry sauces that I like to make, but what I really enjoy is that when you have such a rich cut of meat and duck is that, fatty. Right? It's luscious, right? It's fatty. It's sweet. Mm-hmm. Cherries are tart, right? When people think of cherries, if they're thinking maraschino, you're not thinking right, yeah. right? You know, think of a tart cherry. And then you balance that with like rosemary and, you know, the shallots I sauteed the shallots in duck fat because of course I did that. I, you know, poured off the base of the freaking duck. Anyway, it was amazing.
You're a monster.
And of course I started with mashed potatoes and roasted asparagus because you have to have a balanced diet, right? With Nutella.
I'm trying to find a picture of my duck.
Your duck was so good. You also did duck. Tell me about your duck.
Well, that's why I wanted to talk about it or find a photo because I couldn't. Oh God, look at it. Yeah. So I did like, a miso orange glazed duck. Yeah. And to be fair,
better than mine.
We came to this idea separately.
Yeah.
And I had just struggled to find one. I went to a couple of places down near the house in Steel Creek and just couldn't find. I found like duck breast and like bits and pieces, but not a whole one.
Until you said,
hey, I found a Whole Foods duck. And it was the same night.
Well, the problem was you had already bought something to replace it.
So, and you know, I'm not mad at this. It was something different. That was the whole goal is like, you know, I can roast a chicken. We can do turkey or ham. But like, we were kind of at home with not a whole lot else to do around the holidays. So I wanted to just cook some interesting things that we'd never tried before. And so in one of my efforts to purchase a duck, I ended up purchasing a whole rabbit, which I will say I did not end up cooking myself. It was sort of in the refrigerator after I found the duck and I was like, well, it's still there, but whatever. So Jeff took matters into his own hands and did sort of a braised, like creamy mushroomy sauce with if you hadn't told me it wasn't chicken thighs, I wouldn't have known the difference. That's the thing
about rabbit is that it tastes like chicken.
It tastes like chicken in the same way that you would expect. The only issue was the bones are so soft.
Yes.
So we let it braise for a little too long. So now it's like a fish problem where like you got to be careful for little bones.
Yeah.
So, but flavor wise, very good.
Yeah.
But the duck for me, man, we just roasted that puppy until it was nice and crispy. And I think we did sort of an opposite thing as you with like roasting time. We did like an hour, I think, at 300 and then banked it up to like 425 or something and just let it get crispy. And that was enough.
And that that's the same process of like, right, like rendering slow and letting that all get down. And then
rendered.
Yeah.
And we might have cooked asparagus and duck fat last night.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm glad you still have
my pants are so tired.
I love it. Well, then, so yes, I also made a prime rib for New Year's, which was great. And I used the Food Lab process for that. Jay Kenji Lopez Alt's recipe for prime rib. He is the author of the Food Lab. And the way you do it is, now, if you can get like a dry aged, if you like dry aged prime rib, then go for it. But this is the first time I did it without a dry aged prime rib, just a fresh.
Are you okay?
It was great. It was great. You know, I will say it was fantastic. But I really enjoyed the 3 week one that I had last year.
Have I had my bit yet? You still haven't given me any. It's gone, isn't it? Yep.
It's gone. It's I'm so sorry. I'll make you another one for your half birthday.
Thank you.
So it's just
May 28th.
That's
I'll
right.
be there.
I love that you know that. Oh,
I know.
God.
Look, my regular birthday is on Thanksgiving sometimes. Yeah. So
can
everybody.
Can you find out what my half birthday is at some point? Because I don't know.
What's your regular birthday?
Well, September 8th.
September 8th. Yeah. That's what I was going to say next.
Yeah. Anyway, find
February.
Out. What- Well, anyway, we'll do it for my birthday. Great. My half birthday. It's coming
up.
Cool. Great. But anyway, so it's a very similar process that you do it nice and low. And I'm talking like 200 degrees, 170 degrees, right? And then I keep a
that's like someone breathing on it heavily.
Right, exactly. which Jacob just watching it and just the heat from his eyeballs emanating. That's it, you know? And so it just, meat thermometer, because getting to the perfect temperature, you know, and you get there 10 degrees before because you're going to sit out and it's going to be doing this thing.
And you better not overcook that thing because that is tragic.
It. And let it come, you know, cover it in foil, let it rest for like up to an hour and a half, you know, you're good. So right before.
How many pieces did you cut off the side to taste?
Enough. enough to fill my belly. But so at the very end, right before you're about to serve it, blast that oven to broiling, essentially as hot as it goes. 500 is probably as hot as most people's go. And then you get it in. So this is reverse searing, essentially. Yep. So you're doing it all low and slow, and then boom, blitzing it, getting that fat cap nice and rendered and crispy, delicious.
Oh, God, I'm hungry.
So good. It was fantastic. Very happy with it. That is my foolproof method. I recommend anybody, if you're going to make prime rib, do it that way. Let's talk about
eggnog.
Let's talk about the sweets and the libations.
Yeah, so this is the second year in a row that we made our own eggnog as gifts for people, and I still have some for you as well. I had one.
You have got another one? Yeah, you gave me one.
I mean, we still have some left over. Okay. I don't know. Jared, you want one?
It's cool. Let's talk about it, because Jared, you're about to get real treat.
It's super easy. There is so much alcohol. So much alcohol, guys. But the beautiful thing about it, so it's Alton Brown's recipe, and you can age it. So we actually have a bottle left over from last year.
There's so much alcohol in this dairy product that it doesn't spoil.
It ain't going anywhere. We opened it up, I think, on my birthday.
Yeah, a year ago.
After a year, literally a year. And the heat of the alcohol has calmed down and it tastes more like caramelly.
You've caramelized the milk.
Oh my
sugars.
God.
It's amazing.
It's so just insanely rich, but I was floored at, I mean, obviously I'm going to be squeamish drinking like a milk product that's that old, but
it works.
Alton Brown, you know, he taught me science. So yeah. He said it's fine and it's fine.
And what is in it? So there's not just like one alcohol. You do like a whole.
Oh, there are three alcohols.
three.
So cognac, bourbon, and rum.
Holy shit.
So yeah, delicious, but it'll get you drunk.
It's gonna get you. I can have like one little nip of it and I'm just already sloshed. It's just not good.
It is well,
so dangerous.
I think the aged version, again, the heat is gone, so it's just if you add a little fresh nutmeg on top of that.
Yeah,
I would even say, and this is just me liking the taste of eggnog but knowing that it's kind of heavy, cutting it with a little bit of whole milk if you're just trying
I love
to
that you
make
cut
right.
it with whole milk. To me, that is such
a rich...
Toss
some heavy cream in there, like, gross.
Oh, my God.
And no one's saying I'm drinking this every day, but holy shit, it's good.
It is good.
And I also, was it Christmas? When did I make the cake?
Was it when you came back?
It might have been when I came back. Anyway, so we had aged eggnog in the fridge. We made some fresh to, like, have in the fridge also.
And to give gifts.
But I made an eggnog... a Christmas spice cake with eggnog buttercream. And it was insanely good. I brought it to the house,
didn't I? And it was, the thing that made it so amazing to me was how light the sponge was. It was so light. And I expected it to be much denser. And it's like a spice cake.
Not like a pound cake.
No.
So it's super light, almost like a carrot cake without the carrot.
It was great.
It's warm spice.
Light. Yeah. And then that eggnog situation. The frosting was so good.
I was really pleased with that because that's such an easy place to go wrong with any kind of layered cake. We saw that on my birthday when Jeff tried really hard.
He tried so hard. Good for him.
And he just didn't wait long enough and the buttercream did not have the right consistency and we had a landslide. Flavor was good. Buttercream just sealed the deal for us.
Stevie Nicks was not having it.
So I wanted to redeem our household by way of making a new cake. And so I feel like I did that.
I
accomplished that.
Yeah, I made a dessert that included some alcohol as well.
Oh, go on.
I did for Christmas. I made
Christmas.
I made a Bailey's cheesecake.
Oh God!
So it was so freaking good. I enjoyed this to the moon and back. So it had like an Oreo crust.
Yeah, it did.
And then it had like a chocolate cheesecake with the Bailey's mixed in and stuff. And then on the top, I made like a Bailey's ganache to put on when it was all cooled down. And it was
you had
so
it in that. So that's it. We came over on Christmas.
Yeah.
Then you had it in the fridge.
It was in the oven.
It was in the oven.
It was
even,
in the oven.
Or you were like just still prepping.
It was just about to come out when we were hanging out. Yeah.
And it just meant that we didn't hang out long enough.
Yep.
Is all. Because you had to chill it.
I had to chill it. But you did get to try some when you came back from your fun trip.
I traded you cake for it.
That's right. We literally swapped desserts for the holidays, and that was delicious. And one other dessert thing that I did over the holidays, my Christmas gift. You know, the problem is, like, everyone is older. They're not like my family.
You speak for yourself.
I know you love presents and I love that about you because you and I are just constantly giving each other gifts, which is perfect. But like with my family, sometimes it's hard to know like what do people want? Do they even want anything? Mm. So I thought, you know what, this year I'm going to make cookies. That's my thing. I'm going to make 5 different kinds of cookies and I'm going to ship them out. And that's going to be everybody's Christmas gift.
Did you ship them out?
Actually? I did. I shipped them out. Yeah, because my family is in every time zone of the U.S. Mm. So I had to get them out. And yeah, so I made some M&M sugar cookies. Yep. I made some Linzer cookies.
Those are impressive.
I love those. They are beautiful. Those are like, you know, like a nice
little jam in the
jam
center.
In the center, yeah. And a little circle in the powdered sugar. Let's see what else. I made Spritz cookies, which are those ones that are like piped, that are like a shortbready kind of thing, which are good. And I made peanut butter blossoms also.
Now, peanut butter blossom, is that what the...
With the Hershey Kiss in top.
Okay. Everybody has peanut a different butter name for it.
Fair point. Yeah. So peanut butter cookie. And then as soon as you take it out of the oven, you plop a little sugar or Hershey's Kiss on top. I think maybe those I only made 4. Maybe only made 4 cookies. Anyway, it was super fun. I enjoyed it.
4 types of
4
cookies.
4 types of cookies.
Like dozens of
cookies. Yeah. Yes. I made many a cookie. I was real sick of cookies by the end of it. But
I don't know what you mean.
It was super fun. And everybody seemed to enjoy them. So it was a great little gift. And I was like, all right, cool. And my sister even texted me. And she was like, if we all agree to do food gifts from here on out, like, I'm good with that. And I was like, great deal. Send
I
me
would
a
like,
lemon tree.
A jamon from Spain, please. Like
only
a whole
$800
one.
To ship.
Look,
that's
I'm worth it.
You are worth it. But we're going to Spain together.
Of course we are.
So
of course
it's not a big
are.
Deal. We'll just get it while
speaking
we're there.
Of going to Spanish speaking places, we actually went to Miami for New Year's Eve, which
that's
was
awesome.
Poorly timed for the COVID numbers going on, but we only came back with what we think was a cold.
Yeah.
So, you know, no harm, no foul.
Negative test, baby.
Yeah. But one of the cool things that we got to do, the food in Miami is obviously incredible.
Yeah.
Other than eating a ton of oysters, because for those of you that don't know this, oyster season is months that end in R, and December is the last of
Interesting.
It.
Interesting.
So I have this like weird guilt thing where I'm like, I have to eat them all now, and then it's off limits. I think mostly because of like their mating season and all of that stuff.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah. I'm from Virginia. So,
I don't eat
you know, that's how
oysters
that goes.
Often. So
I can eat a disgusting amount of them. Like it's a.
February has an R in it. So I'm going to. February.
Ends in R.
February.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm going to eat some in February.
I'll eat them, but it's not how you're supposed to do it.
Okay. Well, I'm going back to Mizu and I'm going to get some. So I'll go with it.
All right. I'll follow you. But no, we actually did one of the first things that we did when we got to Miami. We got a super early flight.
How early is early to Jen?
I mean, it left at like 7:30.
That's okay. That's
so we
fair.
Had to wake up.
All right, I got you.
Insanely early.
Heard.
For a day of vacation, like obviously, that's rough.
Yeah.
But we checked in at the hotel, got comfortable, and then in the afternoon we had a food tour of Little Havana.
Awesome.
Which is like super touristy, but I have never spent any time in Miami other than to like get on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
So I felt like this was a good way to just get lay of the land.
Is it like a walking tour?
It was a walking tour. There was a tour guide. It was, oh, bless. It was us and like an Asian family that was like 10 people deep.
Oh, wow.
And Jeff and I. So we were like part of the fam for a minute.
I love it.
The tour guide was great. Very like charismatic. And she was like in her early 20s and she was part Cuban. And so she was able to talk us through her experience and sort of covertly tell us like, yeah, these are the places on the tour, but like, go check this place out too.
Love so, that.
Nice. We had really good Cuban sandwiches. We had really good empanadas. We had Cuban coffee, of course, which is like not the same thing.
What makes it different? I don't drink enough coffee to know.
I mean, there's a ton of sugar in it.
If oh, like that's my tasting, kind of coffee.
Tasting it off the bat, the first thing you notice is that it is not just like black coffee. It is sweet.
This is stark contrast to the Kona coffee I had in Hawaii. So,
yeah. I mean, I love Kona coffee too, but no, they certainly jack it up and it's super strong. You don't want to drink like a Starbucks cup of this because it will.
This is more like little espresso or like
girl.
Between like a
so
bat and a tall.
We stopped at like a little ventanilla, like a window and got like a little cup and she divided it into like little plastic shot glasses.
Also,
even.
So you guys aren't buzzing the whole
tour. I mean,
food
I had
tour.
Two of those and was like, oh my God, I probably need to sit down.
Oh my God.
It was good. But
for
like,
my little hummingbird heart, maybe.
Oh yeah. That would, you might, it might just stop mm-hmm. if you tried that. Mm-hmm. But delicious. And then we had like churros and ice cream and
hell yeah.
And we heard a little bit of like the Cuban history that is you know, rooted in Miami, yeah, obviously. So I love a good like culture food mashup.
That's
so
kind of the best. That's what makes food mean something.
It really did. And so that was a nice way to start. And, you know, we had New Year's Eve to contend with after that, which was obviously a little less culture driven, a little more alcohol driven, but a fun time there in Miami.
That's awesome.
Being 80 degrees there in December, January.
Yeah. You know, I remember when my family was like, surprise, we're going to take everybody to Hawaii for Christmas. We're going to be there for 2 weeks. And at the time I was like,
oh my God.
Oh my God. I know, it was amazing. But at the time I was like, I don't like palm trees.
What?
Jen, I don't like palm trees. I have a visceral negative reaction to palm trees.
What's wrong with you?
They remind me of the brutally oppressive heat in Texas, because that's palm trees are in Texas. And so, I mean, that was where I got this. Right. And so anytime I see a palm tree, I get like depressed. Like, wow. I have seasonal affective disorder in the opposite direction of other people. When it's cold, I love it. I'm happy. When it's hot, I'm very sad. So
I don't like being super hot either, but damn, I don't know. But I'll tell you,
I loved Hawaii at Christmas. Mm. And to hear like, mele kaliki makai. It was so fun.
And also this pork.
Yeah, there's so much pork.
So much pork.
Pork, but pineapples. And I learned there really is a difference between a pineapple
in Hawaii. It's like not the same
thing. It's not the same. It tastes completely different.
Even the trash pineapple that I bought in the grocery store.
It's still better. If it's grown there, it's different. Anyway. Yeah. So happy holidays to us.
Yeah.
I think we had a great time.
Welcome back. Now we're in just like the long slog to spring.
Yeah.
We'll get there eventually. And then it'll be hot and you'll hit the palm trees again.
That's right. What a vicious cycle.
It really is. Just one day after another. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we have a new game to play.
Yeah, we got a new game. So excited.
Okay, we'll be back.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Jan.
This is Abby.
And this is Amuse Bouche. We're here in the middle of an episode. We're going to play a new game.
Yay, new game. This is called Foodie Fight. So my godmother got me this as a gift one Christmas years ago, and I've never actually played it. We're not going to truly play it now, but what you're going to say.
The catchphrase on the box is, a trivia game for serious food lovers.
I think that's us.
That's us.
That's why I brought it. We qualify. So what I want to do is, it's a trivia game.
Okay.
We're not going to play it formally, but what I want to do is just like grab a couple cards and let's test each other.
It's a trivia game and there's different categories.
What are they?
I feel like maybe, I don't want to read them all. So maybe you'll pick one and tell me what it is and I'll read the category.
All right, that sounds fair.
And then you can read the question.
Yeah, so each card's got like a bunch of different icons on it. So, oh.
It's sort of like Trivia Pursuit.
I'm going to do this
Trivial
one.
Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to do this
which
one.
Which color?
It's a purple star.
Cool. So it's called Food Stars. Food on film and in print, music and art.
Okay, so this
so
one
do
is.
So do I have to guess like the.
You did, yeah.
Guess the star. Or the movie.
Something like that. Okay. So this one is actually very close to my heart. This is like my number one favorite movie of all
Ratatouille.
Time.
Ratatouille.
No.
Damn.
All right. Here, Jen. I'm going to ask you this question. Okay. What was the name of the cafe in the movie Fried Green Tomatoes?
Oh, I don't know.
No.
I saw that when I was a kid, but that was it.
I will watch it anytime it is on, no matter how far into the movie it has been. Like, okay. I'm compelled. It's one of my all-time favorites. It's the Whistle Stop Cafe.
Oh.
I'll just tell you that and then flip it over and be like, it's my favorite. Tawanda. Anyway.
Man, I know I watched it when I was a kid, but.
That's like one of my favorite movies. It's so great.
All right.
All right. Give me one.
So I'm going to give you one.
Okay.
I am going to choose. Let's go with, this is a what's cooking? Cooking techniques, tools, and ingredients.
Oh, okay.
Okay. The question is, what shape of whisk works best to whip egg whites or cream?
Oh my God. Now, I recently learned about the different kinds of whisks that there are.
Good for you.
This
is news to
but
me.
But the thing is, I don't know what they're called. There's one with like a little like paddle side of it, like a plastic thingy. And then there's one that's like a super long, narrow one. And then there's like the whisk that we all have in our thing. And that's the one I'm going with. Whisk shaped.
A balloon whisk.
That's the one.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
The big one.
The one we have. Yeah.
The big one.
Yep. Because there are some that are like, imagine the balloon whisk, the one that you have in your house right now, everyone. Yeah. And then flatten it. That's that's like an egg whisk or something. Like, that's like a flat whisk probably that you use. That's another thing.
I got to do some research. That's a thing. Anyway, this feels like a whole thing.
I don't
that
have
I don't
any other
about.
Whisk than this one.
I'm going to read one more just for fun.
Let's see if I can make up for that.
All right. Dining out.
Okay.
And it's a true or false.
Okay.
Mezcal is Mexican tequila made only from the blue agave plant grown in government-specified areas.
Well, I want to say that, like, isn't tequila, like, mezcal is a kind of tequila, right? I wanna
Mexican
say.
Tequila is yeah. what they're claiming.
Okay, well,
here.
I'm going to say true.
Oh, it's false.
What is it? Is it not in government? Can you just grab it from, like, the gas station
this
agave?
This is really picky. Mezcal is a tequila-like liquor.
All right.
That can be made from any species of agave anywhere in Mexico.
All right. Okay.
Sassy game. My God. All right. You want to one more?
You know what? Let me give you another one.
Okay.
And what then we'll see. All right. Yeah. The green little plant.
Lab and field. Cooking science, nutrition, and food production.
Yeah. Here
That's
we go.
Probably
this
something
one's,
I know.
It's right up your alley. Which cheese is more hospitable to microbes that can cause food poisoning? Hard or soft cheese?
Soft.
Of course. Yeah. Right? Yeah. That has to be soft cheese.
Question about cheese.
There. That's what I thought. So soft cheese is obviously the answer. There is more moisture in soft cheese, which mm-hmm. permits survival of human pathogens.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I mean,
can COVID
gross,
live in cheese?
Probably.
I don't know if anybody's done the study, but y'all should do the
study.
Don't
call the CDC on
okay,
us.
Okay. Hold on. You gave me a whole bunch. So, all right. All right. Here we go.
Okay.
This is the red pot.
Red pot is what's cooking? Cooking techniques.
Okay. What cultivated mushroom are baby portobello mushrooms, Jen?
What cult? Is this like they're asking for a kind of mm-hmm. mushroom?
Yes.
Oh, God, I don't know. You're so heartbroken looking at me right now.
I wouldn't have guessed this.
Okay. So,
but also, I have a terrible track record so far.
So say the question again.
What cultivated mushroom are baby portobello mushrooms?
I would just think that portobello is a type of mushroom.
Let me
that feels like
give
a trick
you,
question.
Let me give you a hint.
Okay.
Part of the name of this mushroom includes the first half of the word miniature. It has mini in it.
I don't know that many names of mushrooms.
Anyway, it's a cremini mushroom.
Oh.
Cremini.
Okay.
Mini. Wink. Anyway, that was a good. That was good.
That was a good one.
That was a good clue.
That was hard.
Did I not tell you once when you came to my house and I said I had this game and I said this game's real hard and then you gave me like three easy questions off the bat and we're like, it's not that hard.
Well,
anyway,
I probably tried to give one that wasn't like such a monstrosity.
All right, ask me a question.
All right. Man, I don't
softball
know.
Me.
I'm just. Okay. This is an easy one.
Okay.
It's about dining out.
Okay.
This is a lot of Mexico here. What filled masa dough dish is reserved for special occasions in Mexico, but is common on Mexican restaurant menus in the United States?
Filled?
Yep. Masa dough dish. Filled masa dough dish.
Tamales.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, because I make them for Christmas with my my Texas family.
I have the phonetic spelling on here, too. Tamales.
Tamales. And there are other types of, like, isn't, an so it's not Mexican. It's another South American country. I want to say it's cool. Anyway, I'm not going to get it right.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
But like arepas are another one, which are delicious filled
delicious
and amazing.
Things.
Anyway, here.
Yeah, you got one?
Yeah.
We're both winning.
What? All right. This one is like a culture question, I guess.
Okay.
What do guests bring to a potluck party that is not brought to a BYOF, bring your own food party? Wait, I think I already figured this out.
Like alcohol?
Huh. This is a stupid question, Jen. This is a real dumb question.
I know.
So the question again, what do guests bring to a potluck party that is not brought to a BYOF, bring your own food party, food
it's
to
like
share?
What
the hell kind of question is that? This is garbage.
Oh.
Here we go. Let me ask you this question.
Okay, yeah.
Let's keep
Just
on.
Edit that one out. That was trash.
That was real trash. Well, people need to know. This is a game review.
Is it a game review?
It is now.
Okay.
We should probably play it for real. What uncooked cold vegetable soup is found on Spanish restaurant
gazpacho.
Menus? Gazpacho.
You have to say it like that.
Gazpacho.
Gazpacho. I'm sorry about this microphone, Brian.
it's amazing.
It's spitty now. All right. You got one more?
I got to ask you this question.
All right. Go ahead.
What is sterlet?
Sterlet?
Sterlet. There's more to the question.
What
but I'm
category?
There. F.
Food. There's two Fs.
Big
oh,
F.
Foodie sphere, food people, world cuisines, and food places. What is sterlet? I don't know.
So I'm going to give you more of the question because there are hints in the question.
Why all right. aren't you reading the question?
Because I just wanted to see if you knew it. Relax. So trash. What is sterlet, a rare variety of seafood once reserved for Russian czars, Iranian
shah? Oh, caviar.
Yeah, of course it's caviar. Right, cool. That's why I didn't give it to you because it's
all
too
right.
easy.
Well,
it's too
I
easy.
I know stuff sometimes.
Anyway. Ooh, this is relevant to us because it's someone who helped... whose name is all over the state. What plant, once considered poisonous, is Sir Walter Raleigh thought to have first brought to Ireland?
Potato.
Yes.
Neat.
The potato.
Was it poisonous?
All right, well, here. If you don't cook it, right?
What's the name of a pizza turnover that means trouser leg in Italian?
Calzone.
Yeah.
Yay.
I'm sorry. The answer was calzone. So
I got
you
it.
Got it wrong. You were wrong.
It's okay. I'll take it.
These are hard.
I told you. This game is not as easy as it sounds.
What is the more... This is the last one.
Okay.
And if you don't get this, I win.
Okay. That sounds fair.
What is the more common name for a beefsteak cut regionally known as Delmonico Market or Country Club Steak?
Delmonico Steak, huh?
What is it?
What's the question again?
What's the more common name for it?
Porterhouse.
False.
I don't know.
I win. Ribeye.
You're supposed to like ribeye.
Things.
I like just to
ribeye
eat.
Ribeye is actually my favorite.
Ribeye is excellent.
It's
one
good.
Of my favorites.
It's nice.
I love
fatty.
A ribeye.
All right.
Love a ribeye.
Well,
cool.
A
well,
fun,
that was fun.
Like, goes back and forth between being super hard and way too easy. So, you know what? All right. In our game review, Foodie Fight, people.
It's hard.
About balance. About
okay.
balance.
All right.
Find
fine. It's balance. Yeah.
There.
You know what? It's gonna. It's never. It's not going to be a walk away win for someone.
Fair.
Because we both know some stuff.
Yeah. We do.
So that was, yeah.
All right. Well, that was Foodie Fight.
That was Foodie Fight. So if you find it and you want to play it, let us know how you
don't
do.
Challenge us to
do
it.
Do not let it. We're not going to play. So
no.
We should play for real once and see how it goes.
We'll see.
But it's going to be between games of Yahtzee.
I'm assuming that like we have to roll a die for like choosing.
I mean, there is a little bag and then there's like little placards. I assume it's like Trivial Pursuit where you like get.
Yeah, you have
each
to roll
category.
And you have to do the categories.
Yeah, see, that probably would have, we probably should have done
it
the right
like
way.
Oh, there's little pie pieces.
Oh, it is like Trivial Pursuit.
It is.
Yeah.
There's a lost
so,
opportunity.
Foodie
there.
Fight, guys.
Anyway, Foodie Fight. Fun times.
Make a local version.
All right. We also have a battle.
We have a food battle to share.
For Valentine's Day.
A romantic chocolate battle.
Chocolate battle.
Yes.
So let's get back into it, shall
yeah,
we?
Yeah, let's get into it. We're going to cut into some of the...
the
we captured
experience.
Some audio with the experience. We want you to come there with us. Travel
yeah.
with us to
if
Valentine's
you will,
Day.
To the Day of the Lovers.
Yeah, get yourselves ready because today's Push Valentine's Day and we're going to romance the pants off you.
Your stretchy pants.
Your lycra pants.
Gross.
All right.
Are
we rolling?
We are rolling.
Battle chocolate.
Battle chocolate. Happy Valentine's
Happy
Day,
Valentine's
lovebirds.
Happy Valentine's Day. Here with all of the people we love the most and a dog.
And a dog.
So I'm pretty excited about this battle. I feel like it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, we've talked about this since before 2021 was over
yeah.
and it just didn't happen.
Well, I think we knew in our heart of hearts
yeah.
that the right time
was
would be
now.
On Lovers Day.
Yes.
So... we've got a nice spread, and it's a challenging one to do savory dishes with,
yeah.
which I totally copped out and just did something completely standard, but I feel like it's good to balance the scales. I know that you had something relatively interesting up your sleeve.
I did a couple interesting things. So I wanted to give us a starter, and I thought
the boys
it might
are
be...
drinking beers.
Yeah,
so
you can
want.
Hear...
Here we go.
There it is. We got one more coming? Nope.
They're recording their stuff again? All right, let's go in the corner.
At least it doesn't have the straw in it this time. Sounds. So I wanted to do something as a starter. All of this started with me thinking, what are the different kinds of chocolate that we have and
yeah.
how can we feature different kinds, right?
Sure.
So like, surely we'll have something like bitter and we'll have something sweeter. And then what about white chocolate?
Yeah.
Right? So that's why
I did want to do ruby chocolate. And
yeah.
I did find that pistachio cookie recipe. And if I'd had a little bit more free time to play with, then I might have given that a shot.
Yeah.
But I
well,
went safe.
That's never going to, like, not be something we can do. Just won't be for
Maybe
this
we do
battle.
A second version of Battle Nuts.
Battle
Nuts.
Yeah, we talked about off. Needing to do that because we didn't hit
There's
nearly
so
as many.
There's so many options there.
Yeah.
We're never going to exhaust
Exactly.
That one.
Yes. So what I did as our starter was a focus on white chocolate. This is a white chocolate baba ganoush.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
so
I'm going to smell it.
Yeah. Give it a sniff.
Okay, so at first sniff, it just smells like hummus.
Yeah.
But baba ganoush is eggplant.
Correct.
Right?
Okay. Yes, so but mostly it has, eggplant. Yes, so it can be considered very similar to hummus because it also has tahini in it. It's got cumin, it's got paprika, it's got parsley to give it some freshness.
Beautiful garnish with the pomegranate seeds and the parsley on top. So, and it's in this beautiful blue dish, so it's just like super nice color contrast.
Ah,
so
thank you.
Nicely done on thank the friso.
And then I toasted some pita bread to go along with it.
Do you want me to taste this live?
Yeah.
Can I give it a go?
Yeah, give it a shot. Let me, I'll do it with you.
Okay.
Get it. Get straight in there. Get all up in it.
I'm going to get a little pomegranate seed.
Mmm. I thought you might like it.
Okay. So at first, there's like a punch of sweetness, I'm assuming from the white chocolate.
Yep.
But it mellows really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. And then it just balances out with the nice savory notes in there.
You know, I would think of this the way you describe a wine with like a long finish.
Yeah.
Because it really does travel a journey through.
Guys, I'd like the boys to try this.
Yeah. Okay. In my mind, if I didn't tell you there was white chocolate in it, you'd still know there's something sweet, but you won't know where it came from.
Yeah. I certainly, yeah, I would not have known that was a white chocolate concoction if you had not told me. And the texture is really nice.
Yeah, pureed that so that it was smooth. I roasted the eggplants. Mm. Yeah, give me some thoughts, gentlemen.
The sweetness really hits you to begin with, but and then it mellows out into more of a hummusy kind of flavor. But I would not say that was chocolate.
I would not have expected chocolate.
No. Honey or something, or maybe just sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, and white chocolate is not exactly a defining flavor profile. It's buttery,
yeah.
It just tastes, it's not, you won't say chocolate generally when you think about it, but.
But I think this is not, when you originally told me you were going to do this recipe, and I saw the recipe, I think, on some of the same research that we were both doing, but I was like, on instinct, that sounds grody.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised at how well balanced it
is. Yeah, me too, especially because there were no reviews. So I'm so relieved.
I think we've got that obligation now.
So there's our starter, guys. Enjoy that. Again, it's a vegetable, so.
It counts.
While we're thinking about it, I think another great thing to start with is Jacob's contribution for the event. Mm. Yes. Would you reveal that for us, please?
Talk to me.
So I don't know if it's going to be good or what. This is not burnt on the edge. That's chocolate.
It's chocolate. Yeah.
So how did you make this?
I made a dough.
With an enriched dough.
With a lot of butter.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Mostly butter. Each step had butter.
As it should.
And I made a chocolate sauce with bittersweet chocolate, butter, cocoa, espresso, and cinnamon.
Okay.
And made that sauce, rolled out the dough, spread it on there, rolled it up, and then braided it in a circle.
It's a nice plat, that.
Yes.
Talk to me, because my dish, which will be named later, required espresso powder.
Mm-hmm.
But I could not decide. It's like instant espresso or ground espresso?
I think
Cafe Bustelo, baby. That's my favorite. That's my favorite.
I think it should have been.
So similar deal, but I found a smaller.
I couldn't find.
That's what we were looking for.
I couldn't find instant espresso, so we ended up with a brick of the Cafe Bustelo, and I really probably should have ground it finer to make a fine powder because it's still pretty gritty.
Honestly, that's not going to even make me mad.
Try this on its own.
I think someone else should cut it.
No, just cut it like a cake. Do it like you were saying.
Like this?
Sure. It slices. I mean, it's like a babka is like a coffee cake, essentially.
Yeah. All right.
There we go.
That's yours. Oh, looks good. Look at that.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
It's really nice.
Well,
and the crumb looks very good.
The cinnamon really
it's coming out. Yeah, so that's an unexpected one because we talked about
cinnamon,
chocolate, espresso. There's like all the greatest hits of flavor here.
Baking powder.
Yep.
It would be really good with coffee.
I actually love the grit situation.
That's the espresso. Ground espresso.
I love that, actually.
I want to soak it in coffee. Mm. Just pour coffee on it or dunk it in coffee.
You want to make some of that?
That's delicious.
Oh, I need that one bite. I do need like a gallon of whole milk to drink.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about this beautiful steak. So this is a flank steak.
It's a flank steak. So yeah, as you guys might know, I love cooking with flank steak, but I'm experimenting a little bit. So we did a few things. We tenderized it. pretty tough.
Beat the hell out of it.
Beat the hell out of it, yes. But then we dry brined it, ooh, which is the first time I've done that. So you basically just rub salt all over it and let it rest in the fridge overnight.
So like draw out moisture and then impart the saltiness back into it osmotically.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. First time we've done that. So
salt.
She loves salt, so figure why not.
Do you rinse the salt off after?
I brushed it off a little bit, yeah. But like there really wasn't that much salt left over.
Yeah.
Like, it sucked it all up.
Love it.
We didn't bury it in salt. It was just like you would normally salt it to go on the grill.
Like I do with my prime rib or something.
It was definitely a lot more than like go on the grill. So I'm curious to see for how him, salty maybe. This is. But yeah. So then after the saltiness, took it out, let it rest for about 2 hours outside of the fridge, and then put the dry rub of cocoa, chipotle powder, some cumin, some paprika, some garlic powder.
Just crying a little bit.
A little bit more salt. Let that rest for another maybe 15, 20 minutes. And then onto the grill.
Onto the grill for how long? How high?
As high as I could get the grill, which in the cold temperatures, it was probably like 600 degrees, maybe, something like that, for a matter of a few minutes.
Yeah, you were not out there long. This is a great, there was a lot of prep that went into this, but nothing labor intensive, it felt like. So this is, I'm excited.
It's just ingredients and process.
Yeah. But you also made a sauce to go with it.
Made a sauce, yep. So chipotle sauce. With cocoa, basically all the same things in the dry rub, just in liquid form.
Yeah.
The only thing I added Worcestershire and the Amor Artis Sospeso beer.
Sweet. Oh, I can't wait to try this.
Nom.
So excited. I'm coming over to Jen because I want to hear about this. She did our taste test.
It is very salty.
I'm sorry. Who said that?
I just want you to know that I love you very much.
I have to know.
This might mean that it's inedible if Jen is saying it's very salty. Oh, God.
It is very salty.
Oh.
I can work through that.
I mean, I can work through
it. The spiciness going on is really good.
This is not something that I would hate. Jacob will hate this.
Jacob will be fine.
That's like the saltiest bacon I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. It is almost like a pastrami, like it's cured. Yeah.
Actually, this might not make a bad jerky.
It would make a killer jerky. Here you go, ready? Out.
It's so tender.
It's really tender.
And the flavor is really good. I can't taste the salt, but I do feel like I'm being stabbed with tiny knives because the salt is cutting my tongue. It's very salty. Like pastrami. Yeah.
I would read Jacob's column.
I would.
The flavor's great. That's so tender. Yeah. That's perfectly cooked.
I love the tingles that I'm getting.
It is. It's more like the feeling of salt and not the taste of salt.
It's not the salt that's getting you with the tiny knives. It's the spice.
That's not... You know, maybe it's just spicy and not salty. Because usually the problem with salt... Usually the problem with salt for me is just like my tongue dries out and the taste of salt is just like, ugh. But that's more like the feeling of salt. It feels like I'm being stabbed by the salt. Like rock salt, like on the road. That's a beautiful chew on the... Ooh, that's perfectly done.
Mm-hmm. It's really nice, babe.
That is perfectly done.
Now,
and I can taste a little bit of the chocolate.
Yep.
But I do think an application of salt or other than a day that we don't need carbs, but...
No, I hear you. I think on a tortilla.
On a roll or something.
Like even a steak sandwich of some sort.
Heavy roll.
Yeah. Hell
yeah. Put some vegetables on it.
Surrounded by anything without salt.
Yeah. Water. Water sandwich.
Just submerged in a tank of water.
There was no salt left when we looked at it from the brine. That should have been our first clue.
It's all in the meat now.
It's absorbed in the meat. That would make it excellent
Which
jerky.
Makes sense why you do it with a giant prime rib, where it only imparts up to that point. But when your whole steak is only half an inch thick.
It's so thin that it went through it.
That's the thing I didn't consider.
Probably should have pounded it afterwards.
You know, I gotta say, as I'm watching Jeff like cut this up, I love that it's created its own chocolate sauce.
There's a sauce going on.
It's a chocolate jus.
And then you got some veggies over
there. I made some, we were talking about Jeff wanting to go with the steak. And I was like, okay, well, we gotta go with there's gonna be a side. I gotta do some kind of vegetable. And you can argue all you want about whether or not these are really vegetables or starches. I don't care. But they're root veg. So I decided to go with...
The winter, it counts.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was kind of waffling back and forth on a couple recipes. I ended up with the roasted root veg. This is parsnips, carrots, sweet potatoes that have been roasted in a pan. And then I have made a balsamic reduction, and then I shaved in dark chocolate to the reduction.
I'm really happy with that. Try this.
What is this?
The balsamic.
Delicious.
Yeah.
It worked out so much better than I thought it was going to. That is a huge relief. Okay, great. Let's go.
This is meant to drizzle atop your veg.
Yeah, get it. Get it.
All right, which veggies is what?
Okay, so there are these. Well, it's kind of hard to tell the parsnip from the carrot, but the parsnip's going to be a firmer white. Those are parsnips.
Okay. That's what I consider myself. Yep.
And then there are some also light yellows that are carrot. Here's the thing, though. Parsnips taste like a carrot.
Mm-hmm. Parsnips are basically just wild carrots.
Mm-hmm. Obviously meant to be done kind of like right after it comes out of the oven, but...
Oh, it tastes like a plantain a little bit.
It does, actually.
Mm-hmm. One of the sweet plantains.
The plantain in that.
It's very plantainy.
I really like that. I like that sauce. It actually kind of melts away when you have it with the vegetables.
It absorbs it.
Steak with the sauce.
With the steak sauce?
Mm-hmm.
It's just smokier enough.
I'm not going to let it stop me.
Try it with that baba ganoush.
It really reminds me of brisket at that point because it's got that salty and smoky. I'm super happy because we started out with like the kind of sweet but still like definitely veggie forward baba ganoush, and then the babka, which was very sweet but in like the right way, not overly done. But then the savory mains are not overly...
The veggies are super nice, and that balsamic, like... Tell me again what
else. It's just balsamic and dark chocolate shaved into it, reduced.
I mean, that's enough. Like, it's really, really good. And I think in the winter especially, it's a really nice side dish.
So we finished our main for the day. And before dessert, we thought we'd play a few games and have a little cocktail. So, Jeff, you made us a little chocolate cocktail.
I did, yeah. So we had some leftover chocolate. Jen suggested maybe we make a hot chocolate. So I said, okay, cool, let's do that. So we took some 60% cacao chocolate bars, melted it down with some milk, a little bit of half and half, a little bit of like heavy cream, added in some tequila, a lot of tequila. It was kind of a lot of tequila. Some ancho reyes.
What is ancho reyes?
It's like a sugar-based liquor from Mexico. But it's got a really good flavor of like ancho chilies. It's got cinnamon, chocolate.
Just holidays.
It's all kinds of delicious.
It adds like a nice heat in the back. It's not super strong, but it adds like a different dimension to a lot of like...
It's like a warm heat.
Yeah. And I like it in a tequila drink that's got like some fruit or something with it to like cut the sweetness of
it.
Love that. It's nice.
Cool.
And some Kahlua because...
Obviously.
Yep. And a little bit of Frangelico, but not much.
Okay. All right. So, verdicts, team?
It is strong.
Boy. The a lot of tequila part.
The a lot of tequila, I think, is evident. But I like the... It's very much like it fits the environment right now.
Yeah.
It's cold outside. There's still some snow left. It's winter. We've had so much salt. So, it's a nice balance.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if this is from settling or from drinking more. But the first sip, it immediately tasted like warm tequila. And at the bottom, I'm getting a lot of chocolate. And it could just be that the chocolate particles settled down at the bottom. Or I'm too drunk to taste the tequila.
All right. Final dish of battle chocolate.
It feels like it took us a long time to get here.
Hours.
Hours even. So what we have here is a dark chocolate pot de creme. Which is a cooked custard.
A pot of cream, perhaps?
A pot of cream, perhaps. There's a whole lot of cream in it. We have a whipped cream mint garnish and a raspberry and lime coulis on top.
What's a coulis?
Coulis is just a fancy word for like a fruit puree.
Awesome. So, but it's like it looks like it's been like skimmed or like sieved out.
It was. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Because raspberries are just like full of seeds.
Yeah.
So got those right out of there.
All
right.
Here's for a bite of everything all in there. Oh, man. Anyway, it's incredible. I love... It almost has like a mocha-y thing going on. What's that about?
There's some espresso in
there. That's it.
It reminds me of Cocoa Puffs.
It does kind of taste like Cocoa Puffs.
Like an elevated Cocoa Puffs?
Yeah. So a little bit of espresso powder. There's actually the juice of an entire orange in there.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you can get that, but The raspberry coolie also has some lime in it. So I tried to follow the citrus.
Yeah.
To give it that zing.
I don't think I get the orange. It could be because I'm getting a lot of the raspberry coolie in with it. Yeah. But it does taste really, like, clean. What do you think, Jeff?
I think the Cocoa Puffs is perhaps, like, the citrusy with the chocolate. There's something about, like, the...
I would have never thought to align those two things, but that's interesting.
Totally. There's something, like, a citrusy, bright about...
I love it. This is this is probably, like, my favorite dessert we've made on the battles.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Someone hated it over
there. Like a freaking prisoner. Huh? Just scraping at the bowl. Just scrape, scrape, scrape. So you like it.
Well, I haven't
it.
Had Cocoa Puffs in a long time.
Oh, so. Gotcha.
It's so Cocoa Puffy to me. Like, that's the first thing. Like, it popped. The image of the Cocoa Puff box popped into my head when I took the first bite.
Really? Do you love that? Or do you not love
like I'm Cocoa Puffs? I was worried you would be offended.
No, I sort of get it.
It's like...
It's that dark chocolate, almost like the cereal milk.
Brown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brown.
I get that.
It tastes brown.
Like chocolate.
Like chocolate.
No, like cocoa.
That's really good. Puffs. Yeah, like cocoa. Yeah.
It's interesting because there's not... Like, this recipe only uses the dark chocolate. It's like a semi-sweet Ghirardelli bar of chocolate. So it's not like cocoa powder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it would be too much of cocoa powder, I think.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that was important that you did is force us to be a little patient with it. So you got them out of the fridge. You had them set earlier today. Mm-hmm. But you let them sit and come down to temperature a little bit before we ate them. So we gave it like 10 minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm. That was really good. If you put that in like a fancy glass dish and served it at like a tapas restaurant or something.
$15.
For like $15, you'd be like, ooh, that's so good.
It's so indulgent without being overly heavy.
It doesn't
heavy.
Feel like you just killed yourself. But and you're the like,
raspberry... With the lime, it really helps to lift that and not feel so heavy. Also, the whipped cream is so delicate.
Very light.
It doesn't take, you know, sometimes for me, whipped cream is just, ugh, it's just like one more thing. I usually just like, I'll pass on whipped cream, but here's the thing. This is really nice.
I didn't put anything in the whipped cream.
Just sugar, not just straight.
Just
you know
that's
what?
All I wanted it.
That's got to be it. That is what makes this special.
Milk has sugar in it.
It doesn't need sugar on top of it because that's what I'm reaching for to cut the rest of that.
That's so good. That is so good.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
That's really great. All 5 stars, Jen. That's fantastic. Oh man, who's the winner of this battle? I got my vote.
Babka. Steak. Baba ganoush. Babka ganoush. Y'all had like a thing.
We had a thing.
Podokrum.
And the roasted vegetables with balsamic and chocolate glaze.
Those are also very good. I don't normally like. I found myself eating little bites of them. I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to vote for mine.
I'm going to vote for yours, too.
Thank you.
I'm going to vote for Jen's as well. If the steak was less salty, it would
but
100%
it wasn't.
Be that.
But it wasn't.
And so I can't vote for it. But if it were less salty, it would be absolutely the best dish.
Where you at, Jeff?
The steak was very salty.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed in the steak. And I feel like it was like 85% there. The 15% that was lacking.
Should have just been
was
washed off.
Just too much salt. Yeah. That's it.
I'm going to have to actually go for the root vegetables with the balsamic.
I didn't like them.
It's the least sexy dish I could possibly think of. It's root vegetables. But like, they're really good.
Awesome.
They were on point. They were exactly what they should be. Well done.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
From all of this night, the odd thing is, I would say the root vegetables were too sweet for me.
Anyway, well, I think Jen, you ran away with this one. Excellent.
It's been a while.
It was fantastic. And what a wonderful way for us to spend our little Valentine's Day together with our loves. And you, dear listener, who we also love.
We do. We thank you for listening. Your love brings us hope and light and
calories
and a bunch of calories, but it's all for you, dear listeners. So
we're gonna go lay out on the floor.
We're gonna play one more game of joke boat.
Yeah, because joke boat.
It's the only one I'm good at.
Let's do it. All right, we'll make up for all the games you lost earlier.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.